Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How are you doing, Stone?
Good morning, sir. I am doing well. A little bit under the gun. I've got right at 24 hours to get the pizza boxes and the beer cans out of the way. Mama comes home from Alaska tomorrow evening.
Did the maid come?
No, I don't. I did hire them, and I hired them the service that you recommended. Fantastic guys, and but they don't start till Monday.
Oh, that wasn't smart.
No, it wasn't smart, but it does give us the weekend to clean the house to the point that a service could actually do you some good.
Okay.
And,
so I'm excited. You're one of those people who clean the house before the cleaning service?
Right, you have to. Otherwise, they can't do their job, or at least
do you wash the dishes before putting them in the dishwasher?
Yes, I do. You don't do that. You just... Or you don't do
that's
it, period.
That's the dishwasher's
you make
job.
Abby do all
that's
that?
The dishwasher's job.
So that's what's going on in my world. I know you probably got a movie on tap that you're going to go see.
No, I got my dad in town from Florida. He's visiting because yesterday was my kid's 15th birthday.
Shout out to Max, that's also a radio host, although he's not quite as frequently. As he gave up on the whole deal?
I think so.
He's on pause.
He's on hiatus.
But no, I mean, he has interviewed some really famous people in the past.
Yes, he has. He has interviewed more celebrities than either one of us.
Yes, but we have two celebrities in the making.
That's right.
Today, a little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Mary Kay Bowler with Catapult Strategic Consulting. But it is my distinct pleasure to introduce first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning with Phipps Plaza.
And my favorite mall. My favorite plaza.
It is his favorite
it's
plaza.
A great mall.
So welcome to the show, Duane Herbert.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having us on today.
So tell us, you came here to talk about one of your charity events.
Yeah, I mean, I think, certainly here in Atlanta, most people are familiar with our shopping malls, Lenox Square, Phipps Plaza, Mall of Georgia, Town Center at Cobb, and Northlake Mall. And I think, we wanted to get the opportunity to express and get out our charity foundation, which is the Simon Youth Foundation. It's a great cause. It's a national program with our network of 300-plus Simon malls. And it's we of course, yes, had that bowling event. It was spectacular here locally, and we really just want to make sure people are aware of all the great things we're doing with teens, and that bowling event helped us raise a lot of money.
So it already happened?
Yeah, we had the event 2 days ago, and I'm pleased to report that locally we were able to raise over $100,000.
Wow.
It's quite a bowling event.
And now, kudos to us for getting the scoop 2 days later.
2 days later. Breaking news. Two days ago there was a bowling event.
So exactly, what's the problem you're trying to solve or the need you're trying to meet with this youth foundation?
Yeah, well, one of the things that we noticed at all of our malls, and this took place 15 years ago, a group of Simon Property Group employees in their malls were walking around seeing teens wandering around during weekdays and while they should be in school, and we began challenging ourselves and saying, okay, we think there's an opportunity here to help teens. And we were able to identify teens that, frankly, weren't as fortunate as others, as possibly your son Max. And, I'm sure you provide great opportunities for him, and we wanted the opportunity to provide opportunities for these teens that don't have the same structure they may have that we may have at home.
I bet Max is at the mall right now.
Can we check? You have a webcam at the Phipps?
We can check in.
He likes that movie theater there. You guys got a really nice.
Oh, yeah. You're always bragging about the movie theater. Now, do truant officers get free coffee and donuts at the Simon Mall?
And free movies.
No, Lee, you were bragging about this. I don't know if it was on air before the show the other day. You loved
it. I did, because you just are renovating that.
Yeah, it's under renovation. Half the theater is done. Great seats. They recline. It's spectacular. It's kind of a world-class AMC movie theater.
Right, and the aisles are real big. It's just a super experience. A+.
So what do you do with the money? This money that you raise, how do you spend it?
So the great part about how this ties so well into our malls is we're able to build these educational resource centers, and we have 23 of them across the country. And
are they in the mall area, or they're
Yeah, absolutely. They're in the mall.
Really? Wow.
It's a great, kids love to be at the mall.
Right.
If your son's hanging out at the mall, he can swing by, catch an ERC, learn
what
a little
happens
bit.
There?
So this is this is the opportunity for these students that can't go to a traditional school structure for a number of reasons. Either they may have children, or they may have a non-traditional schedule. They may have to work or to support their family. This gives them the opportunity to come to a public place they're comfortable with, a mall, in a dedicated facility to learn from educators from those various communities. So we build out these spaces. They're spectacular. Great opportunity for them to learn at their speed and at the pace that we can make it work. And they finish with high school diplomas. I mean,
who funds this?
We fund the actual. That's part
that's
of the
all this money.
So you're raising money to fund an educational center, community educational center for at-risk youth. Yeah, that's what this is for.
Yeah, and you know, fortunately, we've now been doing this for 15 years, and we just graduated our 10,000th.
10,000 kids. Wow. Yeah. And they leave there with a GED or a high school diploma.
They leave there with a high school diploma.
Wow.
So, and then what that does, and what we try to do, 90% of them graduate. And these are seniors graduating, and that far outpaces the national average.
Right. Now, is this tutoring or this is replacing school?
This is absolutely replacing school. This is their school.
So you've privatized a school, and you've created a system that enables you to graduate a higher proportion of kids than the regular school.
Yes, but we do use our public school systems. So it's definitely a partnership.
Right.
We build it out, but we know we need the experts, and the experts are in the school systems. And
so the teachers are from the school systems?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, on top of the ERC program and on top of the fact that 90% of them graduate from the high school and on top of the fact that many of them go on to secondary education, we've also awarded over $10 million in scholarships. And that's something that I think is pretty spectacular as well. And that's all through these charity events that we do, through the bowling. We do some on-mall activities. We try to generate money through our guest services programs, through other programs, because we have a lot of people coming through our malls,
right,
and we really want to get the word out. I think it's a phenomenal program, and it really targets one of our core audiences. As I'm sure you guys are aware, teens are all over the mall, and it's a great way to help them out.
No, it seems like a perfect synergy. Now, are the retailers involved at all? I mean, the retailers are your clients, really, right? Because they're the ones who pay rent at the facility. So are they on board on this?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that works well with the retailers are they hire a lot of these folks. I
mean, right, these are growing their employees for them.
Well, I mean, imagine, and you know, I've had the opportunity to meet some of these students, and you know, I got to tell you, they're remarkable because they are choosing this education. You know, many of us might have felt obligated. I mean, my parents forced me to go to high school. These kids are saying, you know, no, I know I need a better education.
Right.
I know I need a better life. I'm going to go on to the school. I'm going to go on to further education. So these are very qualified kids that would make great employees of many of the stores in the mall.
Right. They're highly motivated. They're self-motivated because they're doing this on their own. That's great.
Yeah. So it really works well. I think it covers, you know, all of our bases. It's nice that the charity component of what we do matches well with our core business as well.
Right. It's very aligned. Mm-hmm. Now, so what is your role in all this?
Well, I support them here locally.
Right.
But
you're the mall manager of Phipps?
Yeah, I'm the mall manager at Phipps, but I was the chairperson for sponsorships this year for the bowling event. So
you helped get sponsored. Like, who were the sponsors?
Well, we had some retailers, and then we predominantly focused on some of the work that we do here locally. So we worked with a lot of our construction companies and electricians, and so we had, you know, some great sponsors there.
So the people who are vendors that serve the malls?
Yeah, like three of them that I'd like to recognize are S&S Contractors, Penix Construction, and Dixie Electric. They were
And they're
phenomenal.
Local?
Yeah, they're local guys that really stepped up. Each of them donated $10,000 this year.
Wow.
And you know, for I can tell you specifically for S&S Contractors, the owner, his wife is into education immensely, so it was really special for them, and they had a great time, and they had the opportunity to meet our president and CEO of the Simon Youth Foundation.
Where's Simon based?
So we're based in Indianapolis, and we have an ERC right down the street from our corporate office.
And where's the one here in Atlanta?
We don't have one here yet, and I think that's part of the...
So you did this without having an actual place for the kids to go here locally?
Well, we did, but we do solicit and we do generate local local scholarships for students as well. And this year we were able to award $20,000 worth of scholarships.
Locally?
Yeah, and that puts us now closer to $250,000 since the program began, which is impacting local students. But we have, you know, we got a lot of energy behind wanting to do one of these resource centers. I think a lot of it is just continuing to get the word out that we've got this great program, getting educators from Atlanta. We hope to get them into seeing some of these ERCs. They're spectacular, and it's a lot of fun. The kids love it.
Like, what's inside of one of them?
What's really, you're looking at about a 3,500 square foot space that can accommodate, you know, generally around up to 40 students. So typical, like a typical classroom. And then you've got computer labs and you know, activity
areas. So is it like a, like kind of a community center where there's like athletic-y stuff, or is it more educational?
Predominantly educational. But it's, you know, I think it's, if you looked at it, it's certainly more than what you'd see in a traditional public classroom.
Right.
But it's, you know, I think everything that we should expect students to have access to.
So how does the scholarship piece work? Is that for higher education? And,
yeah,
and what's the applicant process like?
Yeah, so each season, and you can go to our websites to learn more, www.simon.com. To learn more about our scholarship programs. But we have local students are certainly eligible for these scholarships. Each of our malls give out a scholarship, and they range anywhere from a couple thousand dollars up to $10,000, depending on their background.
Right.
And we have an outside company that helps us, or a nonprofit that helps us select these students. And those are the ones that, you know, I've had the opportunity to meet. We usually do a small reception for them each season. It's just remarkable to hear. These are also kids that are somewhat at risk. I mean, these are still the kids that didn't get the full ride scholarships,
right.
And they need every bit of it. And
sure.
just to get an opportunity to meet them is very special. And, you know, each dollar they get means a great deal to them.
Yeah. Now, how are you moving forward with this? So you have the bowling tournament here. Is that the one event per year, or is there things going on throughout the year?
Well, we will do some events in our malls.
Like, what's an example of an event in a mall?
Well, we have a kids program called Kidgets where we bring small children in. We have fun activities, and we try to raise money through that. We also do our guest services program, which is a Just Ask program. Just simply, when you visit our guest services and you purchase one of our Simon gift cards, we ask for a dollar or anything that you can contribute.
So it's an opportunity to donate it when they buy the gift card.
Yeah, and then we've got some messaging now in our malls promoting the Simon Youth Foundation, and we have certainly the wishing wells and things. You can donate your extra change and things, and we've raised a lot of money that way.
Right.
We get a lot of traffic coming through our malls.
Yeah,
so
exactly. It's just a numbers thing, right?
Yeah,
you're
going to
get yours.
Well, as I reflect on it, I got quite an education in University Mall in Pensacola, Florida. But what I remember about that experience. Oh, is that right? What I remember about that experience, because it was before you could drive. So mom and dad dropped you off, right? And then, but our big activity was, you were talking about wishing well, is we had to distract the guy, right? And then we had to rob the fountain. And then we put all that together, and then we bought a ticket to the PG movie and went to the R movie. That's my education.
See, we would have spotted you, though, because the wet pockets. The wet pockets.
Right.
And we look out for those guys.
But no, but how rewarding this must be. I mean, what a neat way to make a living. You must really enjoy your work.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy my job, and I think, you know, what's really great, I mean, the charity ties so well to what we do.
It's perfectly aligned.
Yeah, it's aligned.
I mean,
that's key.
Who was the driver of that? Somebody in Simon Mall? Just had a passion for...
Yeah, well, I think it was a group of us that, you know, were in our malls and seeing that, you know...
Right, you're seeing the kids here, and it's like, hey, you know, maybe we can do something to help these kids.
Yeah, so, and I, you know, I think we're certainly on our way. We'd love to see an educational resource center open here.
And so what would you need to make that happen?
Well, we need to continue to drive money to the foundation, and we need support from our education system here. We need support from these school corporations. And, you know, if we can pull those two things together, I'm confident we can find a way to build one, and I'm confident we can find a way and a space in one of our malls. We have so many of them.
Right.
That we can make it work.
Now, is there, like, if you were putting together your wish list of companies that could help make this dream come true, who would be on that list?
Well, we, of course, have a lot of these national brands here in Atlanta.
Right.
So I don't necessarily want to call anybody out, but I'll tell you.
What do their names rhyme with?
But I will say that through what we do every day and the relationships we have here locally with many construction companies, you know, I mentioned the electrician, I mentioned, you know, from plumbers all the way up to roofers and things. You know, we can get something done. We just need to continue to drive home. We need the support from the school corporations.
School corporations, you're talking about the private education companies,
no,
or are you
talking about
like the Atlanta public school system superintendent?
You know, any one of these corporations. And, you know, since we represent so many different counties, you've, you know, of course, Cobb, Gwinnett, Fulton, and APS. So
I've got an idea for your next event. It would take some planning, and it would take some real figuring, but how cool would it be if we had like our remote broadcast, our trade show radio.
Right.
We set up in the mall. We teach the kids how to host. They are responsible, or somebody's responsible, for inviting business people that might have sponsor dollars. They get to ask the business people about their business and learn about business.
Right.
And then those business people are kind of motivated to donate to the cause. So that could be a cool event.
Do it. Let's do it.
Do you know anybody at FIP so we can talk to them about this?
Yes, I think so.
So what's the best way for people to learn more? You mentioned a website.
Yeah, and I also want to make sure people visit syf.org. It's syf.org. It's a great website. You'll learn a lot.
And that's the actual foundation's website.
Yeah, and you'll learn a lot more about what we're doing. You'll see informational videos, and it's really great work. And you know, anytime we can touch the lives of these teens and get them going,
right.
And get them growing. It's spectacular.
Right. Everybody wins. Now, the bowling event, where was that held?
So we hosted it at 300 Atlanta, which is a great facility.
Right.
We had over 200 bowlers. We didn't have very good bowling, though. I mean,
really? Surprising.
The highest bowler was like 179. I don't know. I mean, I'm lucky to get to 100, so I can't complain.
I just throw it down the middle. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Do you aim? You probably are good at bowling.
Me? I'm not. And it looks like such a simple game. Like, once you learn how to do it
the
once,
pins don't move.
You should just keep doing
that. The pins are staying the same place. Right. It shouldn't be that hard.
I was surprised. We had a lot of engineers in the room. You'd think people, you know, very smart, know where to put the ball. You know, I think one of our guys came in at a 54. I mean, kind of brutal.
Did you have the bumpers put up? Maybe next year you can put the bumpers up.
We're doing bumpers. Okay. We're doing bumpers, I think.
Well, hey, thanks so much for coming in, man. And let's stay connected because we want to do everything we can to support your efforts. I think this is outstanding.
Right. How about the websites one more time?
Yeah, syf.org. And you can visit simon.com as well to learn more about Simon Youth and our malls.
And then the date when the movie theater is going to be done.
Oh, it's coming. It'll be, let's see here.
What do you got? There's five or six that are done, right?
It should be done right before Thanksgiving. You know, we got Black Friday coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And is all the renovation going to be done?
Yep, concessions, everything. It's going to, and you can go now, and we're going to get you in. I mean,
I go every week, man. I'm a heavy user.
You guys get advertisement every week.
I talk about you all the time.
Okay. He really does.
That's my movie theater. I live right here. I go, it's 10 minutes from here.
Yeah, no, it's a great theater. I'm going to introduce you to the manager. He's a great guy.
All right, cool. Good stuff.
And Black Friday's going to rock all over the country, probably this year, but you guys are going to. Yeah, that's
and how's Legoland doing?
Oh, it's spectacular.
They wouldn't let me in because I didn't have a kid with me.
Yeah, no. Well, we were looking
at Max. Right. Even Max.
Rent a kid. Maybe that's another fundraiser.
There's another fundraiser. We were just all kinds of ideas going here. Hey, listen, can you hang out with us for a little bit while we visit our next guest?
Yeah.
All right. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with Catapult Strategic Consulting, Miss Mary Kay Bowler. Welcome to the show, Mary Kay.
Thank you very much.
So what do you think about this bowling to help at-risk
Are you
kids?
In?
I'm really impressed. I mean, this sounds like a really fun job.
What's your bowling average, man? We'll get a team together.
I can keep the score. I can order the pizza. I can do the marketing.
Okay, perfect.
Hey, speaking of marketing,
yes.
I suppose you had something to do with the name of this outfit. What was the thinking behind calling it Catapult?
My goal is to move businesses forward quite dramatically, not little by little by little, but to propel them forward rapidly. And so the whole idea behind Catapult was that visual of shooting someone forward as far as they can go.
Like the opening scene in Gladiator.
I never saw that.
You're a movie
I didn't
guy.
Either, so I can't
No, I don't like those kind of movies.
What do you watch?
Comedies, romantic comedies, and action that are current day, not like historical, epic.
All my stuff's on AMC channels, generally.
So the catapult, though, looks like a Cesta, high-life Cesta to me.
Okay.
No, you're not seeing that?
It's supposed to be a
catapult?
Arrow?
Going up with the thing. Okay, I got you. That's good. So how'd you get into this?
I have spent probably 25 years in economic development and small business development, both in for-profit and not-for-profit entities. And about 15 years ago, I got tired of my clients saying to me, now, when are you going to start your own business? So I did. And it's great fun. I've done things like develop business incubators and economic development strategies and small business resource centers. And I take all of that now and work with my clients on my own.
So you work with private companies now? Before, that sounds like a public endeavor.
It's
like
both.
An incubator, or it's both?
It's both. Actually, I was working for a private company developing business incubators with universities and nonprofit organizations.
That must have been fun.
It was great fun. I get to learn an awful lot about a community and what drives that community, what businesses are sort of native to that community.
Right.
As well as an awful lot about the businesses themselves, what kind of help they need, what it'll take to support them, help them grow, make them successful.
So we've been hearing that word incubator a lot around here in the Emerging Enterprise Show with the startups some of those folks going after their first and second rounds
incubator
of funding.
Incubator and accelerator.
Yeah, those you speak to those terms a little bit and help us get our arms around them?
Well, an incubator, the concept behind an incubator is to take a series of startup businesses and put them under one roof, give them individual space, say an office space, but at the same time shared facilities, training facilities, a shared conference room, receptionist, and then allow them to become more successful because their startup costs are less.
Right. But is there any, do you encourage like collaboration, or is
Absolutely.
There some smart people that just hang around so they can grab them and go, hey, smart guy, I have a question?
Both. Usually there's a management consulting piece that comes in. There's some support in the form of advisory boards or consulting specialists, accountants, lawyers as well, who provide all of the kind of management support that a company would need, as well as the most successful incubators are those that have like-minded businesses under one roof.
So like a cluster of healthcare companies
yes.
or a cluster of technology companies.
Yes, exactly.
So how does the money work? When you're a consultant and
yes.
you're helping these folks out, they're fledgling, they're just getting started. Some of them are not going to make it. You must really have to adjust your economic model so that you can fully capitalize on the winners but not lose too much on the ones that don't make it.
Yes.
That's going to be tough.
In my business, I actually just charge a flat fee, and I'm very clear about what it is up front, and usually I can work with a client on either a very, very small amount or in a large job, depending on what they need. In terms of investors, they're looking for businesses that are going to be successful. Various kinds of investors look for different kinds of returns. An economic development fund, for example, might look for a very small return and just some job creation. A venture capitalist, on the other hand, is looking for a really fast return.
A little less altruistic,
yes.
the venture capitalist.
Well,
yes.
I think that venture capitalists are looking for home runs.
Yeah.
You know, so they'll take big swings and misses.
Yep, exactly.
In the hopes of somebody's the big $100 million,
right.
billion
exactly.
dollar in thing. Where economic development, their objective is a little different. They don't.
Yes.
They don't have the, I guess, the shareholder responsibility that a VC has. And
yes.
you're okay with hitting singles, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Manufacturing runs where they can get smaller wins that generate. If they get 10 wins that each have four jobs each, that's a win, right?
Huge.
Huge.
Yes. And one of the nice things going back to the incubators is that what they found with the incubator business is that businesses that come out of incubators, because they have developed local networks, they stay local. They don't move out of an area.
Right.
So for an economic development organization, it's a really great investment. You're building companies that will stay there. You're increasing their chances
right.
of success, and they'll stay in the local community.
So in your line of work, you must see a lot of patterns. You must see the companies making or beginning to make, if you don't step in and help on some of the same old mistakes, you're rolling your eyes. What are a handful of those common mistakes that, with just a little bit of counsel and forethought, a little bit of time invested with someone like you, could save them a lot of pain and maybe a lot of money?
Well, I think I tend to work with two different types of clients. There's the client who is a really great salesman, could sell anybody anything, has a terrific product, and can just sell it to everybody.
Like Kevin.
Yes.
That's Kevin.
We'll call that person Kevin.
Yes.
For this
okay.
example.
There's a Kevin out there who can sell things but can't necessarily manage the business. And so doesn't keep track of the finances or doesn't
right.
worry so much about how the orders get filled, just keeps selling orders.
Yeah. Another, they make it up in volume.
Yes.
Right.
Well, sometimes, as long as they're making a profit each time they sell. I have
right.
worked with clients that are
losing
it costs
money.
Them more, yeah. And
really? You've had a client that was losing money on every sale.
Oh, yeah.
That's not unusual?
Not as unusual yeah. as you might think.
But because of their cash flow, they're okay.
Well,
but
they
if
just
the
keep
music
pouring
stopped,
money
right.
into it and don't realize. Where
really?
The money is draining from. Yeah.
Man. That's...
And she has an eye for this kind of thing because she used to work in the public sector.
Right.
So this is not unfamiliar to her.
Yes, I've seen it in a lot of forms.
Right.
Yes. Similar, another kind of challenged entrepreneur is the inventor who can come up with a really, really, really great product and can build a better mousetrap regardless of whether or not anybody wants a better mousetrap. And so just keeps investing in perfecting his or her product or service, and there's no market for it.
Is there? Can you help both of those?
Oh, absolutely.
Both of those can be helped.
Oh, yes. With the inventor who hasn't quite found his market yet, part of the trick is to actually identify the market and figure out what they're willing to buy. Right. And it may not be the perfect product. It may be something with a little less effort, a little less money, or just a slight different product.
Like sometimes less features are better.
Absolutely.
Right, like that flip cam where you just press the red button, all it did was record. That took off for a while.
And you think about something like, you know, a pair of flip-flops. You want to pay $10. You don't want to pay $100.
Right.
So it's easy to work with that client to help them figure out what the market wants and identify it and help them figure out how they can produce it.
So you do like kind of market research or you do focus groups or something to help them get an idea of if someone's going to really buy it at some point.
At various stages, you do different kinds of work. There's the general market research, competitive analysis, so it's who's out there, what are they doing, what's selling. And then as you fine-tune the product, you might get into focus groups, customer interviews, things like that.
Yeah, if you don't mind, let's dive into that a little bit. Walk us through an engagement, if you will, and let's use us. Hey, it's our show.
That's right. We have that power.
So we're Business Radio X. We got a nice little profitable business here.
Yes.
We got three studios. We want to aggressively expand. We want to franchise and grow. And so what does an engagement look like? You come out and hang out with us a little bit and start learning about our business and then what?
Yeah, what I'll do is actually come out and spend a couple hours with you and get what I call the brain dump. Everything I can
learn.
That
won't take long. Yeah. We'll knock that out in 10 minutes.
We're almost done, actually.
Then I might actually want to talk to your accountant, look at your books, but get a sense of what really drives your business.
Okay.
How do you make money? How can you continue to make money in other markets?
Right.
Just generically, you know. Then we'll go out and look at what's happening in other markets. What are your competitors doing that you might want to steal from? As well as just what's not being done, what markets aren't being served, and look at where you might be able to replicate your services, where you might be able to put another radio station, and who's going to pay you, where those clients are located, as well as where the listeners, and how do you attract them. And then based on that, we'll actually put together a plan. Usually it's a phase plan. Okay, the first step, the most ideal markets are A, B, and C.
Right.
Secondary markets might be D, E, and F. And so look at, okay, how can you invest a little bit in the first couple of markets to test what you think might be your next service, your next radio program, and then how do you expand once you've seen that A, B, and C are successful?
And then strategically, once we've established that, then do you help us execute and actually make that happen, or is it still just staying the theoretical?
It really depends on what you need. Mm-hmm. I can do everything from just continue to provide guidance or hook you up with people who have money, or I can actually get down and dirty and do it with you. I joked about being a rent-a-CEO. You need to bring somebody on part-time who can actually implement the plans that you have in place. I can do that.
Or do it for us while we go bowling.
There you go.
That's right. But, you know, I'm going to recommend that you get above a 54 or 100 if you're going to take that up as
a
career.
Maybe you know a good bowling coach. Send our way.
How does an entrepreneur, whether they're just getting started or if they're kind of like in our situation, what are some signs that should kind of clue them into, hey, we ought to be maybe looking around and at least think about talking to a Mary Kay type person?
Right. What's the pain we're having?
Yeah.
There's a couple of pains. One is you just can't get a handle on it. You don't know whether or not you're making any money. That's like number one clue that you need to bring somebody in. Number two is you know where you want to take the business, but you don't really have the time or the expertise to get you there.
Uh-huh.
You have a clear vision, but you just don't have the time to make it happen. And that's somebody that I can come in and help, again, is that sort of rent a CEO, sit alongside them, and execute their vision.
Now, as you can imagine, we interview lots of consultants and business people. How do we discern who are the ones that really know what they're talking about and who are the ones that maybe are just good at, you know, have just read one more business book than we have?
Well, I think there are a couple things you should do. One is it's get references from or referrals from peers, because they'll tell you whether or not they liked who they worked with.
Right.
And whether or not they got value from it. Would they pay for that guy again? Another thing is actually go visit or go see a consultant in a training forum or a speaking engagement. Get a sense of what their style is, whether they know what they're talking about. Are they saying anything different, or is it all the same stuff you just heard over and over and over again? And another thing is interview them. I never start charging my clients until they've signed a contract. We've agreed on what the project is going to be, and they're happy with what the anticipated outcomes are going to be. I have a real problem with consultants who start the clock the moment you walk in the door. It's just not necessary.
They have that taxi meter thing.
Right.
Right, exactly. No taxi meters.
And now when you're on the phone with them, all you're seeing is like, that's right. another $50.
Right,
another
$50. Exactly.
And, well, it makes you reticent to call them when you could use them too, right?
Right?
Exactly. You're real careful about when and how to use them. Now, to your point, Lee, I mean, there's no shortage of consultants.
Right.
And I'm sorry, strategic consultants.
Absolutely.
Consultants. It's crowded marketplace.
Yes.
You've got to differentiate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go to market? How do you even get on people's radar to have even this level of conversation with a prospective client?
Well, one of my goals is to know every business in Atlanta.
Wow.
How many are there?
I can't tell you off the top of my head. I have a long way to go. but my goal is to know all of the companies that are out there, to meet them through marketing opportunities, through networking activities, through speaking engagements, through being on the radio.
Right.
And then to be able to match them up, you know, to provide a service that says, you know, somebody needs a advertising outlet, let's go talk to the radio guys.
But what's your point of entry, typically? Like, what's that first conversation even about?
Usually someone will hear me speak or meet me at a networking opportunity.
At a mall? You were going to say mall.
At a mall, that's right. At a mall while I'm wandering around looking for movie theaters. And they'll want to know, they'll tell me a problem. And we'll start talking about it.
They'll be like, man, I can't find a good employee or
yes.
something, whatever the problem is.
I was at a luncheon the other day, and a woman told me she was trying to change the name of her business.
Right.
And we spent an hour talking about how to rename her business and
right.
what the message was that her business was sending.
Well, and you had an advantage because you have a really good name.
Of course I do. That's right. But as we spoke, she got to understand that my approach wasn't just, oh, wouldn't that name be pretty? But we actually looked at the business implications
right.
of how she was going to name her business, who her target market was, how the market would react to her name. And then we developed a relationship.
Right. So when she saw there was depth there,
yes.
then she felt more comfortable than,
yes.
hey, you know, maybe
yes.
you're the right consultant for me.
And then that was the foundation for the relationship. It's
yes.
such a high trust dynamic there. You got relationships. That's
got to
be lifeblood of your business.
Absolutely. And if you don't trust somebody, don't hire them. I mean, one of the first things that I ask people for is personal information as well as financial business information. And that's really sensitive stuff.
Sure.
Right, sure.
And not only am I allowed to see really personal and private information, but I'm talking about somebody's dreams, somebody's livelihood,
right.
what's going to impact their family for the rest of their lives. And they better be comfortable that I, A, know what I'm talking about, and B, won't share that information anywhere.
Right.
And that I have their best interests at heart.
Now, do you have any success stories that you can share? I mean, you may not, maybe not use their names if that's uncomfortable or too private, but do you have some kind of, they started in point A and you catapulted them to point B?
I'm trying to think of.
Nice use of
See
the.
That was good.
That was very good.
Somebody I'm working with at the moment, actually, and it's not a local business, is a kitchen design
right.
company. And I'm working with this individual who owns the company. Her husband is in politics, and she's about to be, or she assumes, be moved about 100 miles away from
right.
where her business is located. So we've been in the process of putting in infrastructure, hiring people, making the business able to run without her.
Without her, because that's another challenge, right?
Exactly.
It's one thing when you're the person in charge, and now you're letting somebody else be in charge. That's kind of scary.
Exactly. And so to help move her out of that, the person responsible for the day-to-day operations to, in fact, a long-distance owner. And so we're almost done with that. That's really exciting.
Wow.
I've worked with a lot of companies, helped them get money.
To get funding?
Yes. Everything from small, you know, $50,000 from an economic development organization to several million.
So could you help a charity that's working with at-risk kids get more
Absolutely. In fact, I do work with nonprofits. Both from a strategic planning side as well as from a grant writing side.
Oh, help with grant. That's a
yes.
skill by itself.
Yeah, being able to figure out, to target. Again, it's a marketing issue.
Right.
Knowing what the potential funding organization is looking for and how to position yourself to get
and
those funds.
That you're the solution for whatever it is they're
yes,
looking for.
Exactly.
Good
well,
stuff.
I like the way this conversation is going. We got to get you back. Maybe bring a client.
That'd be great. I'd love to
do
that.
You have local clients?
Yes,
I do.
You have local clients?
Yeah, you'd be up for that? I think that would be,
that'd be great
that make for a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would really be great. I would love it. And, of course, the client would love it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
What's the best way for folks to reach out and learn more, have a conversation with you about some of these topics?
Probably the easiest thing to do is go to my website, which is catapultstrategies.com. They can also call me if they'd like. I'll have to give you my cell phone number. It's 443-745-1469. And I'm always happy to answer business questions, so don't hesitate to call.
Cool. Good stuff. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Paint, and we will see you all next week on Atlanta Business Radio.